presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
It's a long way from flying through the sky to flying underwater, but it may not be too far in the future, gang. Of course, when I say flying underwater, I mean traveling at high speeds. If it happens, it means jet propulsion will drive our submarines of the future at speeds far beyond anything our present-day submarines can do. Right now, the Army Air Forces is working with a new hydrobomb, which has attained a speed of 80 miles an hour underwater. This bomb is said to have twice the destructive power of a normal torpedo. It has a range of 1,000 yards and carries a warhead of 1,300 pounds of explosives. You're probably wondering what that has to do with submarines, but the bomb really is a miniature submarine. Right now, it's in the early stages of development, and its range is short, but the men experimenting with it are still feeling their way. However, you can see they have constructed a weapon that will make our submarines and Air Force stronger. As far as the Air Forces is concerned, the new bombs are natural. Unlike the torpedo, any standard bombing plane can carry the new hydrobomb. And, unlike the torpedo, the bombing pilot doesn't have to worry about damaging a delicate propeller mechanism when he drops this hydrobomb. The new bomb can be carried by planes as small as the A-26 attack bomber and can be unloaded while the plane's doing 350 miles an hour. This allows the pilot to come in faster and get away faster. In addition, his bomb starts zipping through the water as soon as it hits, giving it a better chance to score on the target. I'll be back later with more news about the Air Force's new jet bomb, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Flying in hot pursuit of Carlos Mendez, the Argentine rancher who has stolen the Lakeville Belle and who is holding Gail Nolan prisoner, Hawk, Tank, and John Temple took a shortcut over the Pacific Ocean, hoping to beat Mendez to his ranch in Cañada Verde. But their plan backfired when they ran into a violent tropical storm, and after 3 hours of just barely staying aloft, they found themselves far off course and short of fuel. In our last episode, they managed to reach the desolate coast of Ecuador when their fuel tanks ran dry and Hop made a forced landing on a sandy beach. As we continue now, several hours have passed. Tank is just returning to the plane after a long search for a house or any other sign of human habitation. Hop calls out, hopefully.
Any luck, Tank?
Nah.
Couldn't you find anything?
Listen, there's people around here. They're all living underground. I swear I must have walked at least 20 miles. Didn't even see so much as a mosquito.
Ah, great. That really fixes it.
My feet hurt.
Here.
Sit down on this rock.
Thanks.
Ooh.
So? What do we do now?
Which way'd you go, Tank?
South. Nothing but rocks and sand and trees. And more rocks and sand and trees.
Now, one of us had better start up the coast then, John. Maybe we'll have better luck in that direction.
I'll go.
What about the radio? Couldn't you raise anybody?
No, Seth's dead.
We're in great shape, ain't we?
It's my fault. If I hadn't insisted on taking the shortcut across the ocean, we wouldn't be here.
No, don't start that. If it hadn't been for the storm, your plan would have worked. And would have caught up with Mendez.
One of the breaks.
We'll catch up to them yet, don't...
Maybe not.
Well, get started.
Yeah, it's a mile, and even a track.
Well, across the fishing village.
Hold on. Hey, John.
What's the matter?
Come back. Oh, yeah, back and see it. Lights of a car.
The beam seems to be coming from the water.
Better searchlight.
A boat. Traveling this...
Maybe.
We're looking.
Standing still beside the flickering beam of the searchlight, skip near the coastline, and slowly draw close. Don't speak, as if it were like the beam of Mirage. And steadily when it's for narrow than a quarter of a mile away. Tank, let's...
Hey, I see it. Boat coming to your right, Tank.
Wonder what kind of a boat it is. We're patrolling line like this. As long as they...
They're turning this... When it hits us, wave your arm so they won't miss us.
Brother, I'll turn cartwheels and somersaults.
Ready now. The light's getting close.
There starts the boat. I can hear the engine.
Now it's on it. Give it all you got.
Hey, here we are.
I'm ahead.
I'm on deck.
They're keeping
it
behind us. They see it.
Yowie. Yeah, they're turning into shore. Come on, let's get out and meet them.
Right.
I must have a pretty shallow draft to get in this boat. I can make out anybody aboard her.
No, the searchlight's shining right in my eye.
Hey, it's stopped, I think. There goes the anchor.
We'd better wait here.
Hey, look.
three or four guys were jumping over the side and wading in.
John, did you see what I saw? They're carrying rifles.
Rifles?
Hey, what gives?
Get it down, fellas. Just got ammo.
One of them's yelling at us. Understand what he says?
Stand where you are or we shoot.
What? What in the world is this? What did he say?
He wants us to raise our hands.
Oh, yeah? Well, that must be some mistake. Talk to them, John. Explain who we are.
Well, I can understand Spanish, huh, but I can't speak it.
Then let's run for it.
Well, too late now. We'll never make it. What now? He's ordering his men to surround us.
Ah, here they come.
Listen, we don't know what this is all about, but we're Americans.
Ah, they all got uniforms on.
Americanos?
That's right. We haven't done anything. Why should we put up our hands?
Because, senor, you are smugglers.
Hey, he talks English.
Smugglers?
Si. A very serious offense in this country, senor. Whether you know it or not, I trust you will surrender peaceably.
What do you mean, surrender? We didn't do nothing.
You're making mistakes, senor. We're not smugglers. We ran out of gas flying across the ocean. Made a forced landing on the beach.
So, an interesting story, senor. And where were you going?
We were flying to Guayaquil from Managua.
I believe you are lying, senor. All such flights across the ocean are reported to the Garda Costa. And I have not received any such report.
Well, we were blown off course. We don't even know where we are now.
You are far south of your supposed destination, senor. Near Lambayeque, in Peru.
Holy cow, we really took a ride.
Listen, for the last time, we're not smugglers. Here. Here, take a look at this card. I'm an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Ah. Oh.
Go on, look at it.
Hmm. I think you got him, John.
The FBI. John Tempest.
That's right.
So. Manuel.
Hey, what's all the chatter about, John?
I don't know, Frank. Going a little too fast for me, but I think the officer in charge is asking the one he called Manuel for advice.
Oh, we got them mixed up. That's good. They don't take too long making up their minds.
Senor Tempest.
Here it comes.
You may be what you say you are, and then again, you may not. In any case, I cannot take the chance.
What does that mean?
I will take you back to my commandant. The decision rests with him.
Oh, passing the buck, huh?
Where's your commandant?
Our headquarters are in Lambayeque.
How far away?
20 miles up the coast. You will come with us on the boat.
Oh, but listen, we've got to get out of here. We can't be wasting time.
I'm on official business here in South America. Every second counts.
I'm sorry, senor. I can do nothing else.
Well, all right. But can you radio your headquarters to send gas down here to refuel our plane while we're going back with you?
Si, senor. I can do that.
Okay, then. Let's go.
Now, wait a minute. How long is this going to take?
If everything is as you say, senor, then you will be delayed only until morning.
Morning? We'll be losing 5 hours.
I'm sorry, senor. I can do nothing else. You will come with me back to the boat.
The Peruvian officer is adamant. Handed the short nod from John, Hop and Tank follow him into the water, wading out for the boat. Clearance is certain, of course, but the 5 hour delay may be disastrous. Gang, we'll be back in a moment with our action-packed climax, so stand by. Now, here's some more about the Air Force's new jet hydrobomb. Not only can the bomb travel underwater as fast as 80 miles an hour, but it is automatically controlled. Its terrific punch of 1,300 pounds of high explosive almost guarantees crippling a big battleship or cruiser. The jet bomb is simple in design. As it's dropped, a blast of air sets its control mechanism in operation. If it were dropped from 2,000 feet, it would hit the water in 13 seconds. Imagine. As it enters the water, the rocket motor is started, and this develops more than 2,000 pounds of push in the first 30 seconds, ramming the jet bomb through the water at 70 or 80 miles an hour. Underwater, the course of the bomb is controlled by a motor, which in turn answers to signals put out by a gyro. The depth at which the bomb travels beneath the surface of the water is controlled in the same way. The explosive itself is set off by a contact detonator switch in its nose. It hits the side of the ship, the switch is closed, and wham, off goes the bomb. The Air Forces have been working on the bomb since 1942, but it was never used during the last war. Three men started it, Colonel R.E. Jarman, Captain J.F. Henley, and A.C. Letty. And they started on the jet bomb with miniature models in a small fish pond. They even used skyrockets, yes, the same kind you see on the 4th of July to propel the first models. By April of 1944, they had convinced the big brass in Washington that they really had something, and the first work was begun with full-size models. Incidentally, captured documents show that both the Japanese and Germans were experimenting with the very same idea. They never succeeded, but our own scientists now appear to have reached their goal, another step forward. Gang, always remember, America needs flyers. And now, forced to return to the town of Lombard, officer, to by their identification, Hop, Tank, and John Temple lost before their show clearance. And since the following now, they are roared over the Andes Mountains, Mendez Ranch at Cañada Verde.
Wait, did that little Coast Guard guy turn? He looked like he wanted to crawl under a rug.
He was only doing his duty, Tank.
I suppose we can't blame him. And we're way behind Mendez. He must have landed by now.
We'll catch up to him, all right. At least we know where he is.
Sure, we know where he is, but he ain't no dope. He'll get rid of that bell fast, and maybe Gale, too.
And what do we got on him?
Tank's right, John.
Sure I am. We'll land, and what'll happen? He'll say, nice to see you. What can I do for you?
When we try to pin something on him, we won't have no evidence. We're in a fine pickle now.
Meanwhile, several hundred miles to the southeast, Tank's predictions are coming true. First, Gale waits anxiously by the giant Fairchild packet, eyeing the massive bell under which young Christopher Cross is hidden. Mendez approaches his henchman, Otto Vogel.
Vogel, are you ready to unload the bell?
You are going to do it now?
Of course. You order the necessary equipment, as I ask you.
Yeah, but why do you insist on doing this while that woman is here?
And why not?
You will be showing her the secret of the bell.
So what of that?
Mendez, it is too risky.
Ah, you're a fool, Vogel. So she sees the secret. What will she do? Grow wings and fly away, perhaps?
Do not try your humor on me, Mendez. I do not appreciate you.
And I do not appreciate your surly attitude. Remember, I have done all the work to bring the bell here.
I am in command.
You would not know of the bell if it were not for me. Enough. You will unload the bell from the plane now. That is an order. Vogel, you heard me.
Yeah, I heard you.
Well?
All right.
That is better. Get to work.
Very well.
Now, Miss Nolan, stand back. We will remove the bell from the plane, and in a few moments you shall learn its secret.
As Mendez strides arrogantly over to Gale and several laborers push a large crane up to the open loading doors of the Fairchild, Gale almost trembles with fear and anxiety. What can she do to help Chris? How can she prevent his discovery?
Gang, you won't want to miss our next thrill-packed episode, so tune in and fly with Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Pop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Pop Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine. Thank you.